It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, what a good life it is living for the Lord. What a good life it is to be a Christian, to know that we're on our way to heaven. Well, we've been studying through the book of Romans, and we're in the chapter that tells us about how we are to conduct ourselves. And as we continue on in our study, we're going to pick up with Romans chapter 14 and verse 6. Now, the Bible is clear that we as Christians, we are to conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. But notice Romans chapter 14 and verse 6, where it says, He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. Well, that's the way we're supposed to do it. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Each day, and whatsoever is eaten, is to be dedicated to the Lord. And whatever we do is to be dedicated to the Lord with thanksgiving. We're to be thankful for what God has given us. Now in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, it says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." Well, it's for sure that Christ died. It's for sure that he rose from the dead, and he is alive, so that no matter whether we live or die, Christ is our Lord. We're not alone. We, and that's the saved people, belong to the Lord, according to these verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says this, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, as we continue on in these verses in chapter 14 of Romans, we see in verses 10 through 13 that we're not to judge one another. In verse 10, it starts by saying, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Well, Paul is saying here, why do you assess the quality of a fellow Christian? In other words, why do we look at a person, a fellow Christian, and say, that work's not very good, or he's not doing a very good job? We're not to do that. Why do you consider a fellow Christian to be nothing, Paul is saying? Not important, he's saying. A zero, in other words. We're not to do that. You and I, and all Christians, will stand before Christ at his judgment seat. Well, that's when we'll know what works for the good and what works that we've done is not so good. And three times in this chapter, Romans 14, verses 1, 4 and 10, we are commanded not to judge fellow believers on doubtful questions. That doesn't mean that we can't judge righteously according to the Scriptures. God's Word is the final authority. Now, we've studied about the immature Christian, that we may do things that we don't agree, that once again, that we don't agree with that person is doing. But, you know, if it's not taking away from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking away from the means, the salvation of saying there's some other way to be saved, if it's not denying Jesus Christ as Savior, then we're not to cause a problem or cause doubtful disputations. Well, Paul says this, but we are to pray for that person and help that person grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help the immature brother or sister to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We're all saved by and through the blood of the Lord. Well, there's no deviation from that, but there may be other things that we find fault with, but Those things are not what we should be causing a problem about. We should not be bringing doubtful disputations about those things. Well, the Bible goes on to say that it is written. Notice in verses 11 through 13, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now, it's not talking about causing him to lose his salvation. It's talking about causing a weak brother to stumble. And what Paul is saying here, he's saying it's written. And it's written from Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 23. And it says there, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. And that means to confess. That means that Jesus is God. Isaiah 45, 23 says, "I have sworn by myself, and the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." In other words, or confess that what? Jesus is Lord. And this is, of course, what he's saying here. It's what Isaiah is even saying back in the Old Testament, that every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. When we see that every Christian will personally give a detailed explanation of his or her life to God, according to Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, believers will be judged, not for salvation, but for rewards, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Well, Paul goes on to say in verse 13, by letting us know that as Christians, we're to cease from judging each other, and instead of judging each other, the Jew and the Gentile believers, we should not do anything that will cause a fellow Christian to sin, to do wrong. We're to pray for each other and to help each other in the Christian life. Well, notice now further admonitions of Paul's. And by the way, this is God speaking, and he uses Paul as the penman. This is God breathed. This is God's word that we're looking at. Now, Paul goes on to say, under the inspiration of the Lord, we're not to hinder a brother for whom Christ died. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 14, Paul says, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." Well, Paul is saying in essence here that I am convinced by the Lord that there is nothing that can make itself impure. However, he goes on to say, saying to someone who views something as impure, to that person it is impure. In other words, it's the way you're looking at it. Well, Dr. Henry Moore says this. He says, "To the believer, saved by grace through faith in Christ and his provision for forgiveness and justification, all things are legal. Nevertheless, since he should now desire to live and die as unto the Lord," this is Romans chapter 14, verse 8, "then this should clearly affect all his behavior and make him very different from those yet unsaved." We're different as Christians, and we should live like it. And once again, there are certain things that the Bible speaks of that we're to abstain from. And once again, we're to help our brothers and sisters to know about these things according to the Scriptures, not of our personal ideas, but as it thus saith the Lord from the Scriptures. Romans chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." Well, I believe what Paul is saying here is if you continue to eat something that is offensive or causes sorrow to a brother, you are not living your life to help that brother. Well, don't call someone for whom Christ died to be defeated by what you eat or what you do. Don't let your possession of firm principles be talked about as deliberately causing great harm, pain, or upset to another. then the church is not, we see that the church is not distinguished by food or drink, but by integrity. This would be the virtue. It's the integrity of the Christian exhibiting great happiness, all brought about by the Holy Ghost. Well, the church does not consist in or is not distinguished by what a person eats, drinks, or by observing specific days. You see, people are not saved by eating or not eating certain things, by worshiping God or certain days. They are not saved that way. People are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's the way a person is saved. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving Christ with what we do is acceptable. We're saved first and then we serve Christ. It's pleasing to God, and it is approved or is favorable in the sight of other people when we do it as unto the Lord, as the Lord wants us to. Notice in verses 19 through 23, we're to do things pleasing to God. It says there in verse 19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, nor is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Well, that last verse is not talking about you're damned. In other words, you're lost. You've lost your salvation. It's talking about you're going to have a problem in this life. And I believe what Paul is saying here is because of the preceding teachings in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 18. In other words, we are to do the things that produce peace and things which help others to learn. And just for the sake of a certain food, don't tear down the work of God. Romans 14, 20 talks about that. It says, "All things are clean in the sight of God, but it is evil or sin for a person to eat something on purpose that will cause another person to have a hurt or to hurt another person. And it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak." And I believe in that verse 21, it's self-explanatory. Now, we need to understand that a Christian needs to do all things having confidence or faith that Christ approves, according to verse 22. Faith in this context is defined as that firm belief and conviction that what I am doing is right. We need to pray and ask God to lead us and guide us through this world. He's the one who can help us to understand. He's the one who saved us. We can trust him to lead us. And we need to read his scriptures, read his word, stay in his word so that we'll know how we're to conduct ourselves as Christians in this world. Know him as your Savior today by trusting him. And if you're saved, you need to be living for him, serving him today with all of your might.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.